Hi, this is Carol, and welcome to episode 41 of Speakerman Speaks Retail, where we navigate retail from now to next through my latest retail trajectories and interviews with industry experts who help us chart the course. In previous episodes, we've talked a lot about how inventory planning and pricing strategy have become moving targets for retailers, and that's particularly true as inflation lingers on a global scale. Retailers have access to more data from more sources than ever before, but making sense of that data and making good decisions from it has never been more challenging. My guest, Ellen Clary, is VP of Business Development for ClickData. ClickData is an end-to-end data platform that enables thousands of businesses to track performance and accelerate growth through powerful analytics. Ellen has over 20 years of international business development experience. She's driven content marketing, customer engagement, and affiliate program strategy for leading healthcare, technology, and retail clients. She's here today to help us make sense of some of this confusion, and I'm really looking forward to getting her insights on how retailers can not just get out from under these inventory pileups and extreme discounting, but actually get ahead of it. And I think that's more important than ever as we rush right into the holiday shopping season, because I think retailers are determined to get it right after some missteps in the first half of the year. So welcome, Ellen. It's great to have you here today to talk about how to get things back on track.
Thank you so much, Carol. I'm very happy to be here with you today. And let's examine together how an efficient data-driven approach can maybe help with some of the challenges in forecasting that you just related to.
Speaking of challenges and getting things back on track, just in the last episode, I talked about how Walmart and Target's second quarter results were hampered by some of these inventory pileups. It really hurt their performance. And these are big retailers with access to all kinds of data. So what do you think went wrong, Ellen?
Our retail customers, they often tell us how they're struggling to relate number of orders with product inventory and supplies. They actually find it quite challenging to impact stock level forecasts with sales projections, especially when they're changing over time. There are a couple of reasons for that, and it's quite related to the way they've set up their data environment. The primary reason is that those two information usually are sitting in different systems. So that's one. And the other thing is that they often have their data environment set up in a way that it does not allow them to adjust trajectories to any market chance fast enough. So to answer your question, I don't think it has so much to do with having access to great amounts of data. It's good, but it's not good enough. The key is really how you mix it up and how you keep it up to date if you want to bring value to your business.
Yeah, that's interesting. When you say up to date, I think that might sort of be the operative phrase, because this word unprecedented keeps coming up, whether we're talking about COVID, inflation, or even the weather these days. But the bottom line is retailers used to be able to rely on historic data for future planning, but now all of that seems to just be blown out of the water. Can you share any models or best practices that address this inability to use the past to plan the future?
Yeah, I think data analysis has historically been a little too static. Most large businesses, they still look at reporting as a snapshot of the current state of affairs, and they manage their data that way also. That's when we talk about catalogs and cubes of the available data. And so our customers, they tell us that their main pain point right now, the main pain point of their reporting and predictive analytics, is that there is a true lack of agility. We often use the word agile in the tech world, but I believe that this is also extremely relevant when it comes down to describing an efficient data environment. To get the right picture, retailers need to keep accounting for new factors. It has to be a dynamic data integration, and that's what our technology helps them do.
That's interesting you say dynamic, because I know you guys are very digital forward. You're very adept and well-versed in the e-commerce environment, which is inherently more dynamic because you have the opportunity to implement dynamic pricing, to track competitive pricing, and pretty much react to it on the fly. It's a little different in stores. How do you keep that in check? I mean, if you're tracking all of this competitive pricing, it can sometimes be a race to the bottom where you're just constantly reacting and everyone's lowering and lowering and lowering their prices. And that doesn't help anyone, especially when we talk about these margin challenges.
This is actually touching on two use cases that we've observed time and time again amongst our retailers. One is indeed related to dynamic pricing. And we've seen that being successful with dynamic pricing requires to have a pretty good understanding of what's happening both with your competitors and with your customers. And so ClickData helps by tracking customers' interest and behavior characteristics, as well as developing competitors' profiling so that we keep those predictions as agile as possible, but also a little more accurate. That's one case that I'm thinking about when it comes to leveraging data efficiently and how that can help. The other one is inventory. Real time is key. We've worked with a lot of e-commerce platforms that use our technology to track in real time which product references are actually most clicked, hence most consumed, so that it's giving them the ability to negotiate with suppliers on the better conditions. So it's relating those two worlds with the revenue on one end and the reassortment of given product references on the other end.
It sounds like it's about bringing a complement of factors into the conversation rather than maybe just myopically focusing on the competition.
Correct.
Going back to the dynamic environment of digital, and I know that retailers are trying to implement some of that in stores. It's in early stages, but you guys also integrate store-level insights into the mix. And right now, retailers are obsessed with individual store productivity, and particularly as they slow down store growth. They just want to get more from less. How do you think retailers can wring even more productivity out of their stores, or can they?
Yeah, our customers, they tell us that they often have no easy way to compare channels' profitability over time because mostly of the diversity of the formats that they have to face and play with during data collection. That applies to comparing brick and mortars with digital channels, but it also very much applies when it comes to comparing store to store, as you were just describing. So we help them by unifying the data. We were just talking to a retailer last week who's collecting revenue figures from different stores to make sense of what's working well and what's not working as well as they'd like. One store was providing that as an Excel export. The other store, they had to connect to that database to get the invoicing figures. And the third store was actually a digital store. It was an e-commerce platform in which they had to use their API. So it's that complexity that basically limits their visibility in what's profitable and what's not. So that's one aspect of things. On the other end, we also believe that the key is to get a good measure of the customer journey, especially when multiple channels are involved. Sometimes the store is just a step in the customer process. They have to go to the store just to look at the material and manipulate the product. And so even though the purchase is not by definition happening at the store is definitely contributing to the overall customer journey. This is also something that we help measuring in terms of what are the key touch points when we consider the overall revenue generation. We don't forget some of those key steps.
Well, it sounds like too, when you were first talking about Excel spreadsheets and all of these different ways that retailers work, are you guys able to work with that? That whole spectrum of sophistication or lack of sophistication from sort of manual reporting all the way to having their own internal systems that are maybe more robust.
Our technology is allowing for connection to over 250 different formats of data. So whatever the data is, we always have a way of integrating it into the mix. And it's not an empty marketing promise. I mean, this is really the heart of our product development. And so retailers come to us with that confidence that our technology will allow them to account for all of their distribution channels, the one they have today and the one they'll have tomorrow. That's a big part of it. But it's not just that. The key is also to give them the ability to aggregate that data and cross that data from multiple channels. So really working in silos is just not an option anymore.
You talk about all of those different sources, and that also is true when you're talking about social media and all of these different touch points where retailers can interact with consumers. On one hand, it's great because the new philosophy is, hey, the more the better. But it's not so great if you have a fire hose of data hitting you and you don't have any way of acting on it. You've talked about working with all these different platforms that retailers have established. What does that look like?
Yeah, it's actually 250. It's crazy. I mean, this is really our forte when it comes to our technology. And it's almost a requirement if you want to serve customers properly. Each and every retailers, they come with a very specific data environment and they have to deal with data flows from all sorts of different formats. So it's really the key. And what we've observed is that even though all expertise within the organizations, they're all touched by that data trend, if you will. We've observed that the marketing teams were probably impacted faster. You were talking about social media. It's become a reality for them a lot earlier because especially if they work at growing digital leads and customer acquisitions. Our e-commerce customers, they put it this way. They usually suffer from having no easy way to measure marketing ROI from different sources and different campaigns. So that's one thing. They'll always feel that the lack of consistent reporting and especially the conversion tracking across multiple touch points. And they're also usually struggling to track the impact of each activities on the overall generated revenue. And that's really where we're coming. I mean, by implementing conversion rates and ROI indicators at each step of the journey, our users get much better insight on what's working and what's not so that they can also focus the efforts and the investments better on the most critical step of that customer journey. So that's what we can do to help.
So you can not only just track the journey, but help them do something about it and act upon those different touch points and which ones are moving the needle.
Exactly.
Marketing is no longer just a sort of airy-fairy position. I mean, it's become very data-driven, and it sounds like you're really helping the marketing teams.
That's correct. As I was just saying, I think it was one of the first group within an organization that was most impacted by the data-driven aspect. You can't just be working off your instincts anymore, or because you like this or that layout, it has to be data-driven.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's really fun to talk about all these possibilities, but the regulatory environment is kind of the wrench in the works these days. I mean, more and more, I think it's creating obstacles to data availability and even quality. And I know that you guys are very much a global company, and a lot of these privacy initiatives and other regulations that we're seeing pop up in the US actually started in Europe. But how do you stay on top of all this on behalf of your clients to ensure not only that you're providing those insights to them across all of those touch points and aggregating it accurately, but also complying with the latest regulations?
Right. This is a very important point indeed. I mean, we work and we serve over 20 different countries on the world scale. And regulations vary from one market to the other. So it's really up to our customers' responsibility to decide what's best for their organization. But we do help them by offering different type of data hosting, for example. Data hosting is a big topic when it comes to data security and data privacy. And so we offer them different methodologies so that they can really pick the one that's most suited both for their country legal requirements and sometimes their company policy as well. For example, to be very concrete, we're the only SaaS cloud platform allowing an organization to select the data center in which they wish their data to be stored. So that's how we contribute to that.
Ah, interesting. So what do you see? Is there anything on the regulatory front that you see coming around the corner, especially with your global visibility? What do you think is happening there next?
I think for the longest time, businesses could do everything and anything with the data, keeping the privacy aspect in the corner of their eye. But I think that time has passed a little bit. It's about finding the right balance between what individuals and even businesses, for that matter, are ready to put out there in the public domain versus what's going to be useful and important for businesses to leverage to best serve their users and customer base. So that's the trend that I've seen.
Your capabilities are obviously really powerful, but from a customer profile perspective, ClickData's sweet spot is working with mid-sized companies and across the whole sphere of retail, including retailers, brands, and other stakeholders like brokers and distributors. But what do you see as the unique challenges and opportunities within this mid-sized market, and how do you guys help these people?
Our sweet spot is indeed mid-market, which we define as organizations that have several hundreds of employees. That also includes departments within larger corporations. Sometimes we're simply approached by the marketing team or the sales team or the financial controlling team who's looking for a different way of leveraging their data analytics. And sometimes it's affiliates of larger groups as well. So it's not just by the number of employee. But really what we've noticed across this type of retailers is that the need for our technology is usually triggered by the lack of unity with multiple disconnected solutions that help with different things, generates lots of data, but you can't really make sense of what's happening until you actually really take that step to unify all of it. We're also talking with retailers that are hoping to implement things easily. So they're fully aware of the value of efficient performance tracking, but they're not necessarily ready to get into heavy duty IT consuming implementations. So where we help answering that requirements is that We have no requirements for infrastructure. They can just go to our website, create their account, and start working. So you don't have to worry about which database on which server and where do I store it all and all that stuff. We can also guarantee them that their users will have the same experience, whether they're Mac-based or working in the Windows environment, or sometimes just consuming their indicators and the analytics right off their mobile phones. And there is no question of interface building. So I know that leveraging data is complex, and that's the essence of business intelligence, but implementing click data is not. That's where we can make a difference.
Sounds like the big takeaway is reducing complexity.
Correct.
Thanks to all the tools that are available, data insights aren't just for the big guys anymore, or even isolated to particular roles within an organization. What do you see as the benefits, though, of that data sharing that you talked about, where you're working with sales support and marketing and all of these different stakeholders? Are there any best practices that you can share in terms of data sharing within an organization?
Yes. Data sharing cannot just be about technology. The best practice that we've observed is that it has to be a process as well. It has to be impulsed in terms of company culture. We can help companies make that decision in an easier kind of way, especially when it comes to developing themselves versus embarking a given technology. Because we give them that ability to integrate in all data environments and grow with it, and we have no limits. You've mentioned it earlier. We have no limit in the type of data we can incorporate in the analysis. Retailers in particular, you give them that confidence that self-developing is not worth it. So we also, with our technology, help them move those boundaries of data sharing culture and the processes that go with it. On top of that, the white label feature that we have, it allows retailers to embed click data in their suite of services. And what that means in concrete terms is that they get to report on product performance to the brands that they serve under their own umbrella, if you will. Or they can also push certain numbers and analytics to the suppliers that they source if they are distributing their own brand. And they get to do that all under their own brand identity, and it's an extension of their services. This is typically what can help differentiating one good retailer from another one on the market. So they really appreciate that.
So it's about internal sharing, but also the ability to share and collaborate externally with your brand partners and others.
Exactly. Collaboration goes inside and outside, and the white label really helps encourage that.
So you guys do all the work and they get all the credit.
It's a little bit like that.
Awesome. Well, one of my top retail trajectories that I can't stop talking about because it impacts retail in so many different ways is buy, build, or bridge. And that's addressing the fact that retailers and others are having to decide when it does make more sense to build solutions internally, when it's better to go all in with an acquisition, or when it's better to bridge it through a partnership. Now, for the last few years, there's been a lot of acquisition activity, but lately, I'm seeing a big uptick on the bridge side of things, where retailers are more open to partnerships and acknowledging they can't do everything themselves. What are the criteria for effective partnerships, Ellen? Are there any mistakes that you see companies making here?
I think data can be a nice bridge and some sort of a solid foundation to those partnerships. The prerequisite for that, though, is that data from one organization can mix well with data from another organization. We actually help a lot of retailers in those transitions as they grow through acquisitions, or they start partnering with other organizations, not necessarily through an acquisition, but that have different data environments. They really appreciate having the ability to mix those different environments quickly without any crazy migration of some sort. They get to connect to those different systems and make sense of what's going on. And that also helps with the partnership, because naturally looking together at the same indicators that are and the same analytics that are produced based on a more unified view of all those data streams feeds into, okay, we're going to grow and manage against objectives together as one unit, even though sometimes it's two different entities. So that's the best practice that I've seen, is that the earlier you bring all of the data together, the better to solidify all of that.
That's interesting. I didn't think of it that way, that all of that acquisition activity, once again, adds complexity. Those bridge partnerships with companies like ClickData enable them to streamline their businesses, I guess, once they have made these acquisitions and they have all of these moving parts.
That's exactly like that. Indeed.
That probably is why there has been an uptick in partnerships, because the acquisitions are adding complexity, and then they need third parties to come in and help them unify all of that and get everybody on the same page.
You know, we were talking about factors that retailers need to be accounting for so that their predictions are more specific. Building those bridges is one of the factors. Sometimes they deal with complexities on an entity level, and that needs to be resolved the same way as when they grab data from different formats, from different channels. It's the same situation indeed.
Absolutely. Well, I end every interview with one question that I'll pose to you to answer any way you like, Ellen. What's next?
Ha, it's a great open question. I like it. We've talked a lot about efficiency and data-driven management, and our customers can certainly count on us to keep innovating and make their life easier in implementing their data-driven initiatives. Looking at the future, I mean, machine learning is going to be a big part of that projection, and mostly because it will help accelerate best practices across the industry. For example, by suggesting the right things to measure and the right analytics upon a given type of data or business model. So I find that the conclusion is also the right time for me to talk about transparency and how ClickData is helping businesses and retailers in particular to provide all of their stakeholders with a clear, sometimes more truthful status of their product sourcing and their overall impact while creating and distributing the product and services today.
Yeah, transparency is another big elephant in the room, and the bar just keeps getting raised, right?
That is very true.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Ellen, to talk about all of these challenges and opportunities really within the data world. And I know it's going to be a really exciting and perhaps unpredictable rest of the year in retail. I'd love to have you back to just talk about how it all shapes up. So thank you again for being here today. Let's keep tracking these trends and data.
Thank you very much for having me, Carol. It was a pleasure.
So to learn more about the great work that Ellen and her team are doing, visit clickdata.com. That's clicdata.com. And you can also follow their YouTube channel, LinkedIn profile, and they are also on Twitter. And I'll include all that information in the show notes, so be sure to check it out. On that note, we'll wrap up this episode of Speakerman Speaks Retail. In future episodes, I'll be talking with more experts about where retail's going next, and we'll keep on tracking those retail trajectories. So I hope you'll continue to listen in every other Tuesday. And in the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm Retail Expert, XPERT. And you can check out my media updates and speaking gigs at speakermanretail.com. Thanks so much for tuning in, and see you next time.